Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel on this Wednesday. It's a delight to be with you, and we welcome your comments as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org. The crew is in here. They're ready to go. They've been we've been at rehearsal for the last 20 minutes enjoying each other's company.
And, Lego!
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready to go. let me introduce the panel to you. First, we have WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Also joining us, Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. And good morning.
Good morning.
And also filling in at the last minute because we were off on Monday, so we said, hey, we need you. We can't go a week without you. So we said, Libby Post, do you want to come in? And Libby said yes, and she said, but it's my birthday. And I said, even better, we'll celebrate on the air. So happy birthday,
happy
Libby
birthday.
Post.
Yay.
It's great to have you here. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It's lovely.
I know there's no better way to celebrate your day than for us to be here. Good morning and welcome. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's get going, and we will start with the stories of the day. What's going on? I've lost control.
We're all looking at Rosemary's Twitter.
No, it's just her calendar.
It's a calendar. It feeds off of Facebook and all your other social
say?
Media.
Oh,
at the very
see.
Top of it, it says Wednesday, February 19th. Today is Libby Post's birthday. It came in just as you were talking.
Okay, so the whole world knows now.
Okay, well.
Then how come the mail is being delivered?
Yeah.
I know, it's true. It really is true.
it's a delight. Well, happy birthday, and thank you very much for being with us and for filling in today. I appreciate it.
No
so
problem.
Let us talk about the really somber story, and which is just I was watching the reports early this morning coming out of Kiev and coming out of Ukraine. It's really
Kiev.
Awful.
Yep, they're bringing in paratroopers now.
Hundreds of riot police officers advancing from all sides after a day of deadly mayhem in the Ukrainian capital. Anti-government protesters mounted a final, desperate, and seemingly doomed act of defiance late on Tuesday evening, establishing a protective ring of fire around what remained of their all-but-conquered encampment on Independence Square. And to say that it's a war zone, I think, is an understatement.
Yeah,
it's awful. How did we get to this point?
Yeah, well, Putin has a role in it. He has pressured Ukrainian leaders to align with him and to renege on a deal that was supposed to set up Ukraine in the EU. He's pulling them towards the east, in other words, and away from the west. This is going on between Russia and the Ukraine for decades. The Ukrainian people do not want this. There's a video on YouTube, I really urge you to look at it, called I Am Ukrainian, and it's a young woman speaking about why people are at those barricades. And what it is really clear and simple. They want freedom and democracy. And, you know, I really, I'm going to say one thing and then shut up and let you all have a turn, but I feel so strongly,
spent a lot of time over there.
In the Ukraine this summer. And, you know, the U.S. has a role. They love the United States. There are statues to Ronald Reagan, and they love George W. Bush there. We made promises to Ukrainians that, and we made it to the whole world, that we're this beacon of democracy and freedom, and we're going to support and help others who are in that fight. And they actually believed us. And now
just
what is
like
happening—
Just like the Hungarians, remember that? Well, maybe you're not
totally,
old enough to remember.
No, I was going to bring that up. It's just like the Czech and the Hungarian attempted revolts against Soviet rule. We let them down, and I fear that we're doing the same now. What's happening in Ukraine, I've mentioned, is also happening in Bosnia. In fact, there are Ukrainian crews talking to friends of mine in Bosnia right now looking for comparisons. And what can we do? What will we do? I just hate not knowing an answer. I know for myself personally that there's support for the journalists. The administration is killing. They are targeting and killing journalists. 22 have died so far in these protests. The Kiev Post is an English language paper. It's run right now by a longtime American investigative reporter, Brian Bonner. So I asked him last night, okay, what can anybody here do to help, you know, other than, you know, John Kerry? And he said, we need subscriptions and ads. His newspaper is financially strapped. So how can you have a free press when there's no money? So, you know, I said, geez, there should be Ukrainian support groups here. There should be other journalists. But organizing that, I mean, am I going to do that? I would like to think that I will, but I think I'm afraid I'm going to be like the U.S. people overall and not really help out. Let me ask you this.
Only because I want to bring some definition to this whole thing. Obviously, part of this was the president who changed his mind going from a deal with the EU to
that was the spark.
What'd you say?
That was the catalyst of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously under great pressure, as you suggest, from Putin.
Putin is.
And Putin is a dictator. There's no two ways about it. He'll have his way.
He has no problem with killing people. Right.
According to the material I've read, and, you know, it certainly isn't to the depth of, that you have, the EU, as a result of all of this, is not happy. And now there is a certain amount of coalescence around the concept of doing something like putting on restrictions on trade and things like that with some of the sanctions that we see that we've done with other places. So one can think that in addition to what you said, this clear idea that they want democracy, there may be a larger picture here, which is the new Russian versus Western.
It's the Cold War all over again. We're going back into the Cold War. It's absolutely true. The other thing that's sparking the heat of the passion of these protests is that the Ukrainian government, like the Bosnian government, like many governments, is so incredibly corrupt. And the press there has been pretty active in exposing this. That's some of the work that we've done over there.
That'll stop too.
Yeah, and that's really annoying people. You'll hear this in this young woman in the video. She's saying, you know, we want democracy, and we have all these leaders who are enriching themselves. That's the only thing they care about. And, Putin is part of that. His government is corrupt, too.
Do you think that there's any possibility that the CIA is playing any role in exacerbating this?
Well, that's what Putin has said. He said that the West is egging them on. No, I think this is... I do not. I think this is an Arab Spring like uprising.
So where does it go from here? In other words, now, is there going to be, basically civil war with...
It isn't civil war.
No, I understand. But now I'm talking about how it gets worse. Do we start to channel arms in there? Do the Russians start to do their thing? Could the Russians roll in?
So there
that
are
was my question.
Important votes in Parliament this week, and we'll sort of depend. And no, I'm asking you. I assume we know how those are going to go. Will probably go in Russia's favor, and then. The next step being?
Well, I was going to ask you about that because the Olympics are over soon. So
right.
The spotlight switches from Russia. What does Putin do then? You know, we know what the Soviet Union, Russia under the Soviet Union did. It rolled troops into. Yeah.
Well, didn't George Bush look at Putin and say that he's a good man? Was it Bush?
He looked in his eyes.
Yeah, he looked in his eyes.
And said Putin's a good man.
Right.
Turns out Putin is not a good man.
No, he's the 21st century Stalin.
He really is.
With money. You know, it's really fascism.
Political power.
Right.
Yeah.
He's controlling, he's consolidated power. He's letting the oligarchs and the people with money run the show. He's letting that corruption totally define his government. And he has no problem jailing or doing worse things to opponents. Right. The gulag is going to get repopulated by this man.
Let us look at just the Olympics, which, I've enjoyed. I love the Olympics. I think it's a lovely idea. But he used it as he basically built his pyramid. He spent billions of dollars, and a lot of that went into just paying off people. Billions of dollars to set up a monument to himself. So I can't imagine him now going back to the Kremlin and saying, "Oh yeah, let the Ukrainians do what they want." I'm very worried.
Yeah, and it wasn't. Maybe I'm just got this confused with some other country, but wasn't there some issue over the export of oil or something into Ukraine?
It's gas, I believe. Gazprom is the big Russian company. And Putin previously, was it Putin or was it? He may not have been president then. He's had this whole career.
Right.
He was president and then he became the,
And then he came back.
The premier, blah, blah, blah.
But
anyway, he's running the show. And they stopped gas into Ukraine and also stopped the import of wine products, which, all the other republics that are most rebellious to Russia have as a way to control them.
And there was just a big article in Times about Russia, who had been giving them credits, obviously wants to back up the regime, so has finally released the money that they said that
he was holding it. He had promised this huge payoff and then was holding it because they weren't behaving, they weren't acting grateful enough. And you're right, now he's released it because that administration is in terrible trouble.
I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning about the promises that this country made to the Ukraine, and not living up to those promises. So far, the only thing we've heard out of the White House is from the Vice President, who said, called the President and said, "Okay, we hope you use restraint, and we hope you hold back."
And he sure listened.
Yeah, and it seems to me, well, okay. So what? And Alan, this is a question overall politically of how much do we as the United States want to get into this?
Well, yeah, and there are other questions. For example, the EU was the big beneficiary of this new deal with the Ukrainians, and so the question
what
to me is:
do?
Is there a bit of subtle or not competition between us and the EU here?
It's not competition; it's lack of cooperation. It seems that where the EU is involved, the United States gets less involved, and they act. They're supposed to act as a proxy for us.
But we are economic competitors with the EU.
That's true. You know, to me, the problem is I could be perfectly happy if the U.S. said, "Look, we can't afford to be the world's policeman." You hear that said? Let's actually act on that. Stay out. Instead, we still indulge this myth that we are the beacon of all freedom-loving people in the world. When you're in trouble, call on us. And yet, we never really have acted. Look at Rwanda. They were waiting for us to come save them. It would have been such a small cost for us to do that. We didn't do Rwanda. We did Bosnia very, very late, and at a cost that they've been paying for, I believe, for the last 20 years, because the settlement that ended the war was so ruinous.
So are you saying economic interests prevail?
I think practically they have, and so stop the myth. People have to stop looking to us. I hate being in places saying, "When will America come?" Never. We're liars. You know. Sorry, I know that sounds really very idealistic, and I said, no, I'm not going to say that on the radio, but that's really what's going on. These movements are not led by some Thomas Jefferson, George Washington cadre of folks who know what they want to see next. Throw off the English and we'll give you a real government. That's not happening in the Ukraine or in Bosnia or in any of the Middle Eastern countries specifically, and especially Syria. They don't know what's going to come next. They just think, get rid of the bad guys and then all good will flow to us.
Turns out there are a lot of bad guys.
Wow.
A lot of bad
and
guys.
We make that mistake over and over and over again. We really do.
Well, the other issue is, where is the sphere of influence? In other words, there's always been an informal division of who belongs to who, even though it's
you're talking
never
Cold War politics again. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are.
We're back to that.
Yes, we are.
Yeah,
sure.
We're back to that. And you know, okay, if we were going to have a sphere of influence, let's make it be Latin America. Let's get involved in South America. And is the U.S. really doing anything there? No. How about Africa, which has been up for grabs since the British and the French left? What are we doing there? We've ceded that to China. I don't know. I think it's really a myth, and no one should believe in it anymore.
Which?
That America is the beacon of hope for freedom-loving people.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back after the short.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington. Offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community, Berkshire.coop. UMass Amherst Museum of Contemporary Art, presenting an exhibition by local artist Kim Carlino, featuring her own pieces in juxtaposition with selections from the museum's permanent collection, umass.edu/umca. The Brattleboro Retreat, helping people with mental health and addiction problems to make new starts, brattlebororetreat.org. And MPAC, providing the Capital Region with a full schedule of cultural events, including performances, screenings, talks, concerts, and more, mpac.rpi.edu.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Rosemary Mayo, Libby Post, Alan Chartok, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Michael wrote in, and Libby made the comparison of Putin to Stalin, and Michael said, Stalin slaughtered 20 million of his own people.
Well, no, I think there's something to this. You know, Stalin was a brutal man. Of course, he had a little something called the Second World War, and they could have been overrun very easily. I mean, you take a look at Leningrad, Stalingrad. You know, the rest of the thing, you turned around and you deserted and you got shot in the back. The entire general, the entire top core of army officers were purged right before the Second World War, and just because, you know, Stalin twitched or whatever else and felt he had to do that. I was up one night and I was watching something, and it was a concert, and all of a sudden it was from Russia, and all of a sudden in the middle of the concert in comes Putin. And everybody goes, ooh, and ah. And he's wearing a sweater, you know, and people are making noises about him, and he's waving them off self-effacingly, you know. So this guy plays a different game.
He's
than
an
Stalin
old KGB
does.
Guy. He knows how indeed. To pull pull power moves that don't involve the mass famine of his countrymen.
Right. But the being under the thumb is the same.
Yep.
And you know, and I said the 21st century Stalin. He doesn't have to kill 20 million or 50 million of his people.
He takes one or two and puts them in jail.
Right. He can do it in a much different way, but the goal is the same, total control and total political control and economic control.
And he may not have killed 20 million, but he does kill. And I'll talk about Serge Majdanski, who was a Russian tax lawyer who brings to the government.
60 Minutes last week.
It's an amazing story. Brings to the government information that a fraud is being perpetrated on the tax office. So rather than, see, he was another one of those who believed in the myth of goodness and democracy. Instead of the Russians investigating and putting bad guys away, he's put into prison where he dies. He's beaten, spends 2 years there, and he dies. And there's a total cover-up.
And he's tortured.
Tortured. Well, he isn't tortured. They deny him any medical care. But that's similar.
Torture.
Well,
yeah,
but
similar.
But at least in the 60 Minutes piece I saw, show this guy with bruises on his arms and hands and the rest of it. So maybe I'm confusing myself.
I don't know. I know that what killed him was lack of medical treatment. Yeah. And but he spent two horrible years there. And then complete cover-up, and that money has never been recovered. And the Russian government has said, no, we can't trace it. You know, we can't figure it out. And it has been traced by journalists.
We have to take a break, but I want one quick letter from Tony, who says, because we tick off Merkel by unnecessarily tapping her personal phone, the EU is now less quick in reacting, and Ukraine spiraled out of control. Minutes could have mattered. Shame on you, the paranoid eavesdropping community. And this is just a friendly note, Tony. Thank you very much for the note. However, please don't use excessive profanity, because when I'm reading it, I'm reading it off the cuff, and I don't want to say those words on the air.
Yeah, so I was going to warn you, Joe, but that's right.
Just a reminder. I'm looking, but, you know, don't want to make mistakes. Keep writing. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable, and thank you very much for being with us, and thank you for your letters, and you can keep them coming. We'll read a couple in a moment. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage and our Facebook page, and you can use Twitter, and you name it. It's at WAMC Roundtable for Twitter. And go on our Facebook page, go on our webpage, or again, just email us, roundtable at WAMC.org. In other words, there's no excuse. Okay. We were talking about, right before the break, we had a letter about surveillance. So let's talk about surveillance. Visitors to Terminal B at Newark Liberty International Airport may notice the bright, clean lighting fixture that now blankets the cavernous interior, courtesy of 171 recently installed LED fixtures, but they probably will not realize that the light fixtures are the backbone of a system that is watching them. Using an array of sensors and 8 video cameras around the terminal, the light fixtures are part of a new wireless network that collects and feeds data into software that can spot long lines, recognize license plates, and even identify suspicious activity, sending alerts to the appropriate staff. The project is still in its early stages, but executives with the Port Authority of New York York and New Jersey, which operates the airport, are already talking about expanding it to other terminals and buildings.
1984. Big brother.
Okay. Now, oh, God, I just looked over and you weren't there. That was weird. You're slunched down, Alan.
Yeah.
All right. No. Okay.
There is that.
So I know. All of a sudden, I looked and I thought, "Oh my God, Alan left."
You
we started
straight.
Without Alan.
If it were Ray, I'd accuse him of being an anti-short bias guy.
No, no. You were.
It's like all of our TV shows are coming true. That's really what this is. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Okay, awful. Okay. But I'm going to go back. Alan mentioned this. I mentioned 60 Minutes, and it put into my mind a story that they did about Ray Kelly and the post 9/11 efforts and Times Square, and how again you had this things that you'd be able to tell the license plate and the and all the information and be able to zoom in on facial recognition and so forth. If something, God forbid, happens, don't we want that?
Yeah, that's an Alan and Roselle fight. I have to tell you, Roselle can't stand taking her shoes off.
I love Roselle.
Yeah, when she goes through the thing.
She's right.
I don't want the plane to blow up. And, right. You know, and the Israelis somehow...
The Israelis don't have you take off your shoes, by the way.
Well, it doesn't matter. They have their own very good security and very good security record. And I'm simply saying, hey, sometimes it's worth it. Now, if you can tell me, and this is what I'd like to hear from you, Rosemary.
Yep. What do you want to hear?
If you can tell me what the dangers are of the surveillance, I'm very interested in that.
Oh, you're ready.
I can tell you. I'm armed for this. The money being spent on this system might be better spent on machines that X-ray and look at stuff that goes into the cargo. We send tons of that stuff in, and that's where bombs go.
But
let's X-ray that if you want to
really
have security.
But aren't there people, Rosemary, aren't there people who would say to you, yeah, that's a waste of money also? And I don't know what they do.
Okay, Alan, I'm trying to balance your need for security with the way how you really make an improvement. And our airports are not like European and Asian airports, where the threats are just as bad. In Israel, they're probably greater. You don't take off your shoes. You don't have those rude, stupid people dealing with your TSA.
You have people walking around with AK-47s.
I would prefer that to having a camera that records information. We don't know how long it's kept, and we don't know for what uses it's being used for. You're saying security. That's what NSA says, too. I don't believe it. I believe it's used to track down people.
And also, this is not only security that they are using this for. It will detect a long line. So going back to
find a parking spot easier.
Idealistic.
Oh my God!
Wouldn't it be great?
TSA,
if they
those
saw
agents
your...
stand right there with their multiple eyes looking at the long lines, and they go, "You say, oh, please, can I move ahead because my flight is late? No, sorry, the airport made a mistake. The airlines made a mistake. They
nice
see
people.
The lines and don't do anything. What difference does it make if they see it on a machine?
They're nice people.
Oh,
I never have a problem traveling in the same airport.
I saw a guy there who used to be a part of Mason and Sheehan, and he wasn't Sheehan. It wasn't Mason.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't Mason. Standing there, and he's a TSA guy, and he's really nice.
I've never had a problem, and I get patted down every single time.
You let them.
What am I going to do? No? I have business to attend to, if I have to fly. But I get patted down at the Capitol. I get patted down when I go through the airport security, if I can't go through the one where you put your hands up and it goes around you, because I have a metal knee. I have a titanium knee. I'm fine with it. I've never had a bad experience with any of those.
Too many Americans are fine with it.
But you're walking
I'm feeling safe.
But you're walking through, because you're basically doing what Rosemary is calling for, for cargo and things that are going in to the aircraft. But if you're sitting there in the terminal and you're being watched, and how much of that information should we know of how long is it being kept? Where does this information go? Are they? I don't know. Who's watching this? Are they able to? If I bring out my wallet and I have my credit card number, are they able to zoom in on that?
I want to know what the abuses are here, the potential abuses are.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. So I know that you've told us about the cargo, and I somehow have some suspicions about that assertion. I tell you right now, because otherwise more planes would have we would have thought would have been blowing up. I think they do. They probably do something.
They do.
That they look at. But I want to know, what is it? I mean, is it the fact that we lose our individuality? Is it the fact that we might be with somebody who is inappropriate to be with? That they might be checking. You know,
do they know what we're reading?
All of the above. I mean, your privacy is invaded, and if that bothers you, as it does me a lot, I am less sanguine than you are about the effectiveness of our TSA Homeland Security system.
Okay, I'm going to read one paragraph from the article, and then I just want you to respond to it. At Newark Airport, the Port Authority will own and maintain. Okay, and I want you
to close the bridge.
All right, here we go. I just want you to be.
I'll calm down.
I want you to be your cynical selves and respond to this. At Newark Airport, the Port Authority will own and maintain the data it collects. For now, it says, no other agencies have access to it, and a law enforcement agency can obtain it only through a subpoena or written request.
Yep. Just like NSA, right?
Well, that was my question. That is my point. So how with this overall issue of surveillance and they're watching everything, how do we proceed in this country using the technology that we have to legitimately try to foil the bad folks and keep us secure and safe and deal with the cynicism that most people have when they say, okay, well, the data is going to stay with us, with the Port Authority, and you're thinking, well, yeah, but anybody, you know, you just expect a 13-year-old kid to be able to access it at any point.
You know, nobody's being rounded up here, you know? We're not being rounded up. We're not living in Putin's Russia, you know? People are collecting this information. I mean, I get what you're saying, Rosemary, but let's be real here. I'd rather be safe and alive. I'm turning 56 today. I'd like to make it to 80.
Again.
I'd like to make it to 80, 85. I don't want to get blown up in a plane. I don't want to get shot up in some mall. I don't want my partner to be unsafe when she goes traveling. I don't want my son to be, a target of a terrorist. And, you know, there's a trade-off here. And unfortunately, you know, we want to be safe, and that's the trade-off. And I don't know what the best dividing line is. You know, I just know that I want to be able to continue living my life.
How long is it before, if there was an abuse? First of all, the President of the United States has been making noises himself about making sure that this stuff is not in the hands of the government, but in the hands of private companies.
Which is a little scarier to me, to be quite honest.
Me too.
Let me mention that he only made those noises after he was caught. He kept it secret until the press
but
exposed
it. It's not like he got caught. Everybody's been doing it for years. Bush did it.
No, Bush and previous administrations did not do it to this limit because the technology did not exist.
But they did it to the extent that they could based on the technology that they had.
I want to make the point that when somebody is abused, we're going to know about it sooner or later, and that's a good time to really watch this. Although there will be people who will write in quite appropriately, hold your letters, saying, "No, that'll be too late,"
and they will be right.
And don't we applaud the technology during, I was thinking of the first World Trade Center bombing when we
in
had
93.
In 93
right.
where they had the footage and they were able to go in and take one piece of the van that exploded and get the VIN number off of that. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Law enforcement. I sort of, you know.
Yeah, but they use the surveillance that they had.
Right.
I mean, that's what they had.
Okay. If money has to be spent at the Newark Airport, could you just put a couple thousand dollars into reclining chairs or customer service customer service training for airline clerks?
So let me read this, and I know you read it, but I'll read it out loud. In Las Vegas, officials say they are not interested in using the video and audio surveillance capabilities of the system that they're testing. They are instead looking at the use of audio broadcasting to enhance ambiance and safety in public areas.
What does it have to be always?
This is the airport that has slot machines, by the way.
I say this in my most nose-dripping way, looking down. Yeah, you know, I have a friend. I always talk to you like this.
Looking down the beak.
Looking down. Why is it that it always, you keep referring to this rhetorical, using this rhetorical flourish, which is it's either or. Could be both. Could be that you are being nice to the people who come into the airport and at the same time protecting them.
Mm-hmm. I don't see any articles about improved customer service at Newark. I see them about surveillance cameras.
I'm going to bet you anything, if I Google it, I'm going to find all kinds of articles about it. JFK and LaGuardia and Newark are tempting to do makeovers. Now, I have to say, I can't stand Newark Airport.
The thing is that you don't want articles in the New York Times about the fact that you're trying to improve your customer service. It's not really great for your brand. You just want to get it done, you know? And the thing about Las Vegas is, and talking about brand, what happens here stays here. That wouldn't happen if they let all of this stuff get... I mean, it would be a little bit of a problem.
That's a very good point.
Right. So, but the other thing that they should spend their money on, and it's another article, is salt.
They could
spend their money on salt.
That's right.
Actually, you know?
New Jersey has run out of road salt.
They just can't get it delivered.
It's stuck in Maine.
Because it's against the law.
Right.
Another Homeland Security.
Well, it's a ship
protecting
thing.
Us.
It's from 1920.
It's a law from the 20s.
Yeah, it's an old maritime law.
Old maritime law about only American ships can go from port to port to deliver stuff.
Right, and meanwhile, we've run out of salt.
And we're skidding down.
And we're up to...
New Jerseyans go to Homeland Security and say, hey, cut us a break here. We got major storms here.
They said no.
Well, but there are advantages. You know, Murray the dog, he cannot walk on the salt. He holds up his little paws. He just can't.
Well, we need the puppy paws.
We get that loose stuff.
Better yet, that we don't. No, I'm not talking about what we get. I'm talking about what the town puts down.
Oh yeah.
He goes out on that street, boy.
I know, it's horrible.
We could.
And my dog was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah. Well, But Murray's more delicate.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. He is a delicate dog.
All right.
That is a comfort to the people of New Jersey who cannot get off their streets.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll be back and talk about weightier issues. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Kenco Work and Play Outfitters, Kingston. Now taking reservations for Kenco's interactive archery range inside the expanded Big Green Building on Route 28. Opening February 24th, atkenco.com. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Witness for the Prosecution by Agatha Christie. Weekends through February 23rd in the Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. And Pioneer Post and Beam, a non-kit post and beam builder in Belchertown, Massachusetts, designing and erecting customized barns, artist studios, garages, and additions. PioneerPostAndBeam.com.
Welcome back to the round table. Excuse me. Welcome back to the round table and our panel discussion: Alan Chartok, Rosemary Romeo, and the birthday girl, Libby Post.
Oh God!
Happy birthday! All right, let's talk about what is probably the most pressing issue of our time. What's going on in Spain? Rosemary flagged this for me. This is one of the best stories we've talked about here. In Spain, they're trying to figure out how to kind of redo their clock. because they tend to have dinner at about 10 o'clock. They stay up till like 2 in the morning. They have a nap in the afternoon, and they're siesta. Saying that the siesta, and when they're saying that during the certainly during economic downturn. That they're not productive and they're having a lot of problems, and it's a cultural issue that is causing the country, many believe, severe damage. So how do you get the Spanish people up earlier to nap less and to eat at normal times?
Actually, the articles I've been reading about this make it clear they still get up early. So in other words, if you got to get up at 6 o'clock to go to work, you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but you get to sleep for 2 hours, 3 hours.
That's right. That's why it's necessary to take a siesta, in the afternoon. When Roselle and I were in Spain in the late 1960s, early 1970s, I demanded to eat dinner at 6 o'clock.
And everybody wanted to take a nap because Franco was still there.
I don't want to talk about that. So we thank you, Libby.
You're welcome.
So we walked into a restaurant and the chairs were still up on the table.
Yeah,
I said, "Can't we get something to eat?" And they laughed.
You know, at stake here is the economy versus the culture.
Not till 10.
And Spain will lose a lot if it begins to adopt the productivity, the work ethic of Americans. I worked for a long time.
But to put it more in sync with the rest of Europe, not just Americans, but the rest of Europe.
I worked for a long time in Algeria, which is a state Islamic state. And so it has weekends different from the whole rest of the world. It takes Friday and Saturday off, and then works on Sunday. So that's really 4 days a week when it's out of sync. It's working when the rest of Europe and the United States is not. It's not there when the rest of the world is at work. This affects their productivity, as does a month of fasting in Ramadan in all the Islamic states, where they simply do not work during the day. They're unable to. So to change that, though, means changing the way of life.
Well, how do you tell a country, okay, your nap now only can be an hour, and you have to you have to have a 9-to-5 schedule.
You know,
I don't get that.
Yeah, well, I think what'll happen is slowly corporate land in Spain will make this transition, and everybody will slowly follow suit. It's not going to happen overnight. Clearly.
Individual companies,
right? Individual companies will say, "This is what we're going to do." They'll be more successful. Other companies will follow suit. And then things will change over maybe 5 to 10 years. It'll be a generational shift that'll have to happen. But it's really about, you know, will it change the culture? Yes. But are you going to have a thriving culture if your economy is...
Yeah, exactly. I had always hoped that the rules of siesta and cafe life from the rest of the world would rub off on Americans. Do we really have to be as work-centered as we are?
Okay,
it's a very pleasant way of life.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I take a siesta, every afternoon. It's not long, half an hour or something like that.
Yeah, but you're the head of the company. You can get it. You just close your door.
I've done
it. What are they going to do?
Forever.
Really?
Well, it's a power nap.
I'll take a 10-minute power nap if it's really
necessary. Yeah, if you have to.
I just yawn.
Just can't keep your eyes open.
One of the things I found, and this is talking about how do you change it, but one of the things I found so interesting about this article is post-World War II, when this all was starting and really came into the culture and into the fashion, ultimately it was television that caused this by pushing their primetime schedule into 11, 12 o'clock at night, in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning.
You have to stay up to watch your favorite shows.
That's right. The primetime shows are shoved in. So if you change that and bring it back, I don't know. Is that something that you do?
You'd watch your shows earlier and then go to bed.
You know, Russia lost to Finland.
Yeah.
And so they're eliminated.
Out
of the hockey. That's a good thing.
Yep.
They invaded.
Oh, okay. All right.
A news alert came across my desk.
I see.
I thought you might want to know that.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Is that illegal for us to do that?
No, as you should say, spoiler alert, because some people want to watch it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But, yes, I understand. But none of you care, so that's
okay.
Did you ever see the end of The Crying Game? Let me tell you about it.
Oh, boy.
You can watch it in real time on one of the other networks.
Yes, you can.
And which
yes,
I did with the ice dancing. the other day.
Amazing.
It was lovely.
Yeah. The Washington Post did a poem to the ice dancing team. It's a chick thing, I think.
Don't you like
know.
That? Wait, what?
Like what?
Wait, you gave a horrible groan during the ice dancing conversation.
Oh, no, I like ice dancing.
Okay, there you go. I didn't know what...
That's, in fact, one of the only things I like.
I chat with my son during the Olympics, and he's a trainer, big athlete, athletic guy, and so we were doing it during ice dancing, and he goes, this is straining my chick sensibilities. I don't know about this, Mom.
Why? I don't get it.
Because it's too much like dancing, less like athletics.
Oh, I think it's a lot like, I mean, that's athletic.
From you?
I think it's very athletic.
Sensibility from you of all people.
No, he was saying I was forcing it on him.
Right. Yeah, but you were saying it admiringly. Don't think we didn't catch it. We did.
anybody, yes. The Olympic, what? I was going to say, did anybody have anything else? Did you want to chime in with something?
You teach, right?
Yeah.
And you could say something like anybody and or Rosemary or Libby and some kid. There's always one kid who'll hold up his hand before you ask the question. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So
that
you say anybody.
That's true.
Yeah. Hello. Did you have anything you wanted to?
No.
We have like a minute, so I don't want to. I don't want to go into like a huge issue like minimum wage when we have.
There has been an arrest in Russia of a transgender Italian former. Legislator who's transgender and went to Sochi, was holding a sign about gay rights, and this person was arrested. And on the other side of it is there's an American athlete who's saving the dogs in Sochi.
Mm.
Saving the dogs?
Yes. They were rounding up and killing the stray dogs. There's lots of stray dogs in Sochi and Russia, I think, in general, and they were rounding them up and killing them. And there's this whole movement now to save
to
the
adopt them and bring them back.
Yeah,
And it's great. Yeah. No, it's
not
it's,
the
it's,
children, but the dogs.
Well,
you know what?
I know you're all dog lovers.
We're dog lovers.
I know.
And I
live in Sarajevo, where they passed a law to.
I want everyone
not,
to be saved, by the way.
Yeah.
In Sarajevo, they passed a law that says
you can't kill the dogs, but they also don't have any humane shelters or places to keep them. So there's like scary packs of dogs all over the place. So now they've begun a sterilization campaign.
Well, that's what you have to do. You have to trap, neuter, and release. Yeah. That's not my other life. But nonetheless, I mean, it's while we're all happy that America is, you know, ahead in the medal count or getting there or whatever, there are still things that are really going on. There's a lot of politics going on.
Point is well taken, Libby.
People are being
arrested.
And
happy birthday again.
So we end on that note, and we wish Libby a very, very happy birthday. How are you celebrating?
We're going to go see the Lego movie.
Yeah, excellent. I saw it this weekend. You'll love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you'll have a great time.
I'm a 13-year-old fanboy.
It is such... It's a great date movie.
Yeah, good, because I love those kinds of movies. So that's
enjoy
what we're going to do.
Thank you. All right. Thanks to everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for the panel and the program. Start again. The program continues after this short break.